checks, because I think the clerk and I can handle that. And then what we're going to do is just bring this bill back Thursday for final issue. Mr. Schlatt.
Chairman of the committee, my name is Art Schlatt. I'm with the Association of Oregon Towns. Here to urge your support for House Bill 2406. House Bill 2406 is a very simple little bill. What it does is it extends the sunset for collaborative regional problem solving that was established, I believe, by the 1995 legislature at this point. So it's been running for two bienniums. We have a number of counties that have been involved in regional problem solving in a collaborative process with state agencies and a very involved citizen process. Several of those projects are about to come to fruition, and we need the extension of regional problem solving and the ability to use those provisions that are in statute for those projects to be considered by the Energy Conservation and Development Commission. And modifications to comprehensive plans based on those programs put into effect at this point. So we're very supportive of the bill. We note for you that it passed the House 52-0. So this is a program that has wide support and would urge your support also.
All right, have a funding package that was included in the governor's proposed budget. That you're aware of, right?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's my understanding that the base budget for LCDC does include regional problems.
Okay, money is already there. Okay. I'll just briefly, the issue over in Lapine is that area south of Lapine that was subdivided some years ago, and it has such a high water table. Is this part that the regional problem solving has been playing a major role in over there?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Deschutes County is one of the regional problem solving pilot programs at this point, and the Lapine area that you've seen presentations on is one of those. We also note that Josephson County has used regional problem solving to a considerable extent at this point, and they too are moving towards conclusion. And the Amnell and Polk County in the area of Grand Ron has a regional problem solving, again, the pilot program that is about ready to come to fruition. This deals with that area that's established a considerable amount of growth.
Okay.
The only question I have, Mr. Chair, is why only a 2-year sunset?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, let me just briefly address that. This bill initially started out in the House as a with a different piece of a body of legislation. And it was the House committee that amended the bill and provided the 2-year extension at this point. We're happy to support that. We also would support a complete removal of the sunset clause. But this piece is something that we are supporting.
Okay, sure. The only other question I have is, did anybody come in opposition once you amended the bill to deal with the regional problem solving? Did anybody come in opposition?
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, again, there was, my knowledge, no opposition, and it was 52-0 on the House floor, so that would be an indication that there was.
Why couldn't you pick up those other 8 votes?
Well, they either were excused.
Oh, sure. The old excuse.
Poor lobbying.
Yeah, poor lobbying. Poor lobbying, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
59-0. 9-0. Okay. Anything further? So let's testify on House Bill 24. We're going to close the public hearing. Bring it back Thursday. 58-. Do you want to talk, Mr. Vinny? Well, coming up, please.
He's such a shy guy. You need to ask him first before you say anything.
Looking for the hearing on this.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me up here. I apologize. I forgot to sign up. And I also would ask the same question Senator Corcoran just asked. It was never explained in the House side, to my knowledge, as to why this should be only a two-year extension. As you may know, the department has actually proposed legislation that would remove the sunset. Because I think what we're going to find is that this new regional problem-solving program is something that more and more counties are going to want to avail themselves of, and we're just going to be back here next time once again asking for this extension. The other problem I'm concerned about is that if indeed some of these projects that are underway cannot quite totally wrap up, it'll be all the more important that we extend this. So while we support this bill, we would urge you to change it and simply remove the sunset provision. Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to happen, Mr. Rennie, and for several years now. I talked to the director back in 93 about looking at Oregon from a perspective of different regions having different needs. And I think that's where we're going with regional problem solving as a whole. Mm-hmm. And so maybe after this two-year period, I think your point's well valid, well taken. You get somewhere where you should be looking at changing a little bit on this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2406. Bring it back to you. Okay. We're open on open the public hearing. What's this one? 23.
We have 2188 for public hearing. Work session 1318. There's only a work session.
Let's open the work session on Senate Bill 1318. And we got some amendments to 13. Larry, Jerry, and Tony, we've got a House bill coming over that deals with, along the same lines as what we're trying to get to in 1318 that I think we're going to want to work as opposed to this bill. I talked to the governor's office and Mr. Berry, and what I'd like to do is pass this bill out and hold it. In case we have a hard time getting the House bill over here and getting it worked through the process. And if we had to, maybe we set the House bill in this letting clause later on to make sure we got our basis covered. So I'd like to go into, we are in work session on 1318, and there is some race and amendments to this, you think?
There's actually two amendments, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The last time we met on the bill, we had dash-one amendments, and there was discussion over the term utility facility versus natural gas pipeline. What dash-two amendments do is they go ahead and clarify a natural gas pipeline that should be buried at least 4 feet below the surface and electrical transmission lines less than 200 feet in height.
So is this specific to?
This is specific to natural gas pipeline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Senator Corcoran.
I'll move the dash 2 minutes.
Senator Corcoran moves the dash 2 minutes to Senate Bill 1318. Is there any objections? Any discussion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Sure.
Senator Corcoran.
Move 1318 as amended to floor due pass.
Senator Corcoran moves Senate Bill 1318 as amended to floor due pass recommendation.
As amended
to floor due pass recommendation. Objections? Discussions? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Corcoran.
Aye.
Aye.
Chair, I send Bill 1318 has passed the floor due pass recommendation as amended. The chair will carry. Close the work session on 1318. Mr. Bray, you'll keep us tuned in on the progress of the House bill on this issue so you'll know. We can try to keep track of those folks too.
Thank you.
We will. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
another
four if you want.
Like four more. Okay.
We'll
give
me a total
for
you, right?
A total
of 4 years,
so
2003. Good point. Okay. Is this a public hearing and session?
Yeah, public hearing, possible
session. Public hearing and possible session on House Bill 2188. And Mr. Lynch? Thank you.
Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gary Lynch. I'm with the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries Mine Land Reclamation Program. Attempt to be brief. House Bill 2188 clearly strengthens and clarifies the Mine Land Reclamation Act. We worked with the industry prior to the session and finding language that would do that. I think the industry has taken a giant step forward in allowing us to regulate them more stringently than they have in the past, and I think they need to be credited for that. The bill does approximately five things that because we've added an amendment on the House side, but clearly it strengthens clarifies the confidentiality provisions of our act to avoid a contradiction that currently exists, which requires us to keep production records and draft reclamation plans confidential while at the same time circulating them to other agencies. 2188 would fix that contradiction. It clarifies our appeal provisions fairly simply, and if you want, I can go into that, but to save time, I might move on because there's been no opposition to that. It changes the financial security provisions to just simply follow the national model. Again, it was well received by everyone. Strengthens the department's ability to modify permits. This is clearly a strengthening. It gives us unilateral authority to modify new permits, provided we give the permittee an option for dispute resolution. But in addition, it will give us the necessary tools to deal with sites where salmon are concerned, as well as slope stability issues and some serious issues that we occasionally have to deal with. Finally, it modifies the limited exempt provision. The limited exempt provision is a grandfather clause that basically says the footprint of the mine if it was mining at a site prior to 1972, that footprint is exempt from the reclamation laws of the state of Oregon, with the exception of paying a fee. We're saying that clearly we understand the grandfather provision, but it's probably time to end that. So once and for all, people are going to have to decide whether or not they want that limited exempt provision, and this will pay the fee annually to do that, and there will be no new ones issued. If you have one and are operating it, you can continue to do that, but there will be no new ones. In addition, this provision was amended on the House side to take even a greater step forward, which says upon the completion of mining at these exempt sites, then a stabilization plan will be required. It's not necessarily a full-blown reclamation plan, nor it's probably not reasonable to require that, because you can't really do full-blown reclamation unless you have a mine plan that is followed, that whose intent was to complete a reclamation plan. But at the same time, it would give us the authority to require revegetation and stabilization to prevent erosion, prevent any off-site discharges, for example, which would help salmon. With that, basically concludes my testimony, and this did pass unanimously with a few exceptions on the House side, not voting against, but where they were excused, and again, it's probably a weak lobbying effort by a state employee.
Mr. Lynch.
Mr. Lynch, for a clarified question, confidentiality, how is that going to happen where you're changing information and you have people's production records and trade secrets? How is this going to change the process of securing and around confidentiality?
That's currently what we currently have the ability to keep production records, trade secrets, and mineral assessments confidential. We're going to maintain that. That's normal in the mining industry because there is a market value to the exploration they do to determine those reserves. What we're clearing up is currently, as I mentioned, we have to keep draft reclamation plans confidential while at the same time circulating them. We've just done that because it made common sense to go ahead and circulate them, but we were caught in a bind there. This clears up those contradictions. So we'll still keep them in a separate, the confidential material is kept in a separate packet within the file. So when somebody comes in to look at it, we simply extract that packet.
You would say, for example, the 372, no reclamation required, or reclamation agreement in hand or something like that, how would that?
Chairman, Senator George, I'm not quite sure of the question.
Okay, you're talking about an example with, in a reclamation plan, you right now can control that. What information you give to another agency? if they ask a question about, like, on this site, is there a reclamation plan, you would just answer yes or no?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator George, we would answer yes or no, and a reclamation plan, an approved reclamation plan has always been open to the public. It's only these draft reclamation plans, so the original wording of the law kept draft reclamation plans confidential, and we're not quite sure why. But there was no opposition from the industry to releasing that information. And so what we've always kept confidential and will continue to keep confidential are production records, trade secrets, and mineral assessments, whether that's a limited exempt site, which really doesn't have a reclamation plan, or a permitted site, which does.
Okay, I just want to ask another question. On that on a limited site, explain to me the options. The person sitting there, okay, I'm 372, and you give me an option. I PSP and maintain exemption, or what happens?
Mr. Chairman, Senator George, currently, you can, if you plan to operate that site, you pay a fee.
Mm-hmm.
If you decide that you're not going to operate that site, you don't have to pay a fee. You can just say, I'm not mining. It is clearly exempt from the Reclamation Act, with the exception of paying that fee. And we're saying, you know, the reason for that exemption was to allow mines that had been mining without a reclamation plan to continue so. But 18, 20 years later, to have a new one probably flies in the face of the intent of that original exemption. And so we're saying just no more. You get to have what you have today, but you'll get, there'll be no new ones existing, and you will not be able to flip-flop in and out. If you're going to mine it, you're going to mine it, and if you're not, you're going to pay, regardless, you have to pay your fee. You can't swap out of the fee payment.
One follow-up, but on the payment of the fee, in other words, they would pay, in essence, an end of agreement fee or something like that. But you wouldn't require any reclamation on that site because it was 372?
Mr. Chairman, Senator George, that's correct. And we charge an annual fee of $635 to maintain that.
Okay.
And if they flopped out of that, they can come back the next year and flop into it and have not paid the fee.
And that leads me to one more. Let me get this straight in my mind. So, okay, now, the person closes down the site, 10 years pass, a bunch of development, a new highway project. What does it take to reopen that site?
Mr. Chairman, Senator George, should this bill pass or currently?
Yes, if the bill passes.
If the bill passes, Mr. Chairman, Senator George, if the bill passes, then you're going to have to maintain that paying that fee, and then when the project comes by, you'll be able to mine it. And if you didn't pay the fee and say, okay, we want to close this, and then you wanted to reopen it, it would have to go through the normal permitting process exempt with no grandfathered provision.
Right. So you could come back in and begin to mine it. You would also have reclamation requirements for being reinstated then.
That's correct, and you would likely need the new land use authority.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
Any further questions? Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rich Angstrom. I'm the managing director of the Oregon Concrete Aggregate Producers Association. We've had interesting battles on aggregate bills this session. It happens that 2419 happens to be a battle over at the Capitol, and 2188 was a battle within the membership and with the department during the interim. And we spent considerable time hashing over all of these things with enough attorneys to make you sick, even though that I'm one of those, I would say. What this bill does do from our perspective is it basically clarifies the whole mine land reclamation statutes, makes it more clear, makes it more understandable for our folks. With two things that are very important that we thought as an industry being proactive that we offered as far as amendments to the original bill. And I want to say that this was actually where most of the struggle was, trying to come up with language that was fair to not only OCAPA members but non-OCAPA members as we went through this. But one of them is the limited exempt site. The department is going to, that provision essentially asks the department to do some rulemaking and establish stabilization rules for these old sites. Because they don't have to reclaim, they could walk away from those sites and actually leave quite a mess environmentally for folks to deal with. And that really comes down to water quality issues. stormwater drainage and those things coming off those old sites and coming into the fish-bearing streams. So we felt that it was an important, from our industry's perception, to get in front of that particular issue and have the department develop erosion stabilization rules for those sites and to try to clean up some of the waters that will be running off of them. And mostly that's going to be vegetation and some things of that nature, so the soils are held together and things of that nature. The other thing that we did had to do with modification of permits. And this was also quite a big struggle because one of the things that folks need to know, when we start a mining operation, we literally have hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital invested in how the mine is set up. Way ahead of time, we know how we're going to mine, where we're going to put the overburden, how we're going to take the rock out, what lifts are going to be. So we have our crusher set up in a spot. We have our conveyor system set up. We have our reclamation going on at the same time. So there's a lot of capital investment just up front on these permits. And to allow a department, any agency, to come in and say, okay, we're going to change the rules of the game now that you've invested all of this money, was a significant issue for us. And we wanted to make sure that that was done in a fair process. And so what we did is we came up with this language that I'm not going to read it to you, but you can see that it was written by committee, and I'm going to hold it up here because it's quite a big chunk. And you had everybody in the room, basically all the attorneys in the room, saying, well, we need this word and we need that word. And when you're done, we took a pretty simple concept and fleshed out just about every possible permutation on it. But essentially, for issues of where there could be a pit wall for a site that could be captured by a river, or if there's endangered species concerns that come up around one of our sites, the department can do a unilateral modification of the permit. Now, the operator can say, well, hold it, wait a minute. There may be a least restrictive way of doing that, and I don't like it. So what we did is we decided to throw in subsection 6, which throws it into a dispute resolution with the department. The operator actually has the option of having his issue resolved through the dispute resolution process. And our folks, once we came up with that concept, all our folks came right in line, and the amendment moved forward. So this is really a proactive, not only from the agency, and I like to compliment the agency, because, you know, they're the ones that are out there that have to deal with endangered species issues with our industry. And to have them come in and sit down with us and tackle these kind of thorny issues with our industry deserves a lot of compliment because they weren't always pleasant conversations. But what we did is we think we have a very good resolution to those particular issues that affords both the fish and those kinds of things protection, as well as make sure that the private property right interests are maintained. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Questions, Mr. Engstrom? Yeah. Rich, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. No one else has signed up to testify on House Bill 2188, so we'll close the public hearing and go into work session on House Bill 2188.
Sure.
Senator Courtney, Corcoran.
I'll move 2188A in gross version to the floor of the
House. Senator Corcoran moves House Bill 2188 to the floor of the House recommendation. Objections, discussions? Hey, Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Senator Griffin?
Aye.
Senator Joyce?
Aye.
Senator Shannon? Senator
Wiley? Chair, I have the 2188 passes for a dispatch recommendation. Senator Copeland, would you want to introduce anything?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Oh, yes, sir.
Is that it?
That's it. Yeah, I have my papers.
Thank you. We're close the